The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
I'm Mike Consul.
And I'm Eric Hansel.
Welcome to Report from Europe. This month, we're going to be talking with our editor for Institutional Real Estate Europe about Brexit and some questions surrounding whether Great Britain will become Little England. I ran across a column in the New York Times written by Nicholas Kristof, who has spent quite a bit of time in Great Britain, and he's concerned that the empire, what's left of the empire, is likely to break apart. That we've got parts of the kingdom that will just say, you know, we'll go it alone ourselves as well. Merrick, what about that, just in terms of whether there's any conversation across the pond about that happening, and whether are any kind of preventive measures being taken to try to make sure that Great Britain remains Great Britain?
It's an interesting piece that you picked up on there, Mike. Absolutely. I suppose at this point in history, at this juncture, this is probably one of the most dangerous or riskiest times for the Union, for the United Kingdom at the moment. And obviously, it's all come about because of the referendum and the decision to leave the EU and the negotiations that have taken place subsequently under two different prime ministers now. And the concern is that, well, this is all within this Brexit deal context at the moment. The concern is that Northern Ireland will be sort of left out in the cold, if you like, by the deal for all sorts of reasons, and then it might precipitate a movement towards a reunited Ireland, which obviously a lot of people in Northern Ireland still wish to see happen, even though there are obviously lots of unionists in Northern Ireland as well who'd like to remain part of the Union. I suppose it is a dangerous time. I think the columnist also mentioned sort of Scotland and Wales. I think Wales was maybe a stretch too far, in my opinion. but if you take Scotland, they've the last referendum, the independence referendum, which was won by Remainers, if you like, to use that parlance, people who wanted to stay part of the Union. I think it was quite a close vote off the top of my head, but that was a few years ago now. But that was supposed to be a once-in-a-lifetime vote. The SNP, the Scottish National Party, who have got a lot of support north of the border, they're sort of beating the drum to have that referendum take place again. And interestingly enough, Jeremy Corbyn, we're at the moment in a general election campaign here in the UK. Jeremy Corbyn, there are rumours that he would placate the SNP to get their support. If he had enough seats himself and he needed some support from parties like the Scottish National Party, he would throw them a bone and give them another referendum to get himself into Downing Street. So, and looking at polls at the moment, they could win that. So, the Scottish Nationalists could win the independence vote. So, slightly precarious times at the moment, Mike.
I would say so. Now, there is the concern that Brexit, as it was originally constituted, is going to be injurious to business, not good for real estate investors and so on, compounded now by the prospects of perhaps you have some parts of the kingdom breaking away. But before we get into that, let's back up just a minute. Where does Brexit stand right now? Because it's been delayed several times. The European Union's patience is getting exhausted. They've made that clear. Where does it stand right now? What kind of form does Brexit look like it may take? And when is it likely to happen?
Yeah. So, Okay, well, I guess it's best to look at most likely scenarios as things stand at the moment. So at the moment, the current Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, renegotiated his predecessor's deal, Theresa May's deal, and got the approval of the European Union for a deal, which he claims is better than the one that Theresa May negotiated, or Theresa May's team negotiated. And this deal actually won approval in the Houses of Parliament, so it was basically voted through. But for other complicated reasons, it never went all the way through to fruition, and we had a general election instead. Looking at the polls at the moment, obviously polling is something that people have become very sceptical about here in Europe, and I think over in the States as well, since after the outcome of Trump beating the Democrats and Hillary Clinton, when there wasn't thought that was going to happen, and also we've had a few dodgy polls here, so nobody ever thought that Britain would vote to leave, but we did, and nobody thought that David Cameron would come into power a couple of governments ago, but he did. They thought that would be a hung parliament. So the polls are a bit here and there, hit and miss. But looking at them at the moment, there seems to be a big enough gap for Boris Johnson to win the election. So if that happens, if he wins the election, he has a majority, he'll immediately, I assume, or as soon as he can, push through the deal that he's got, and then that'll go through, and the United Kingdom will leave the EU on the 31st of January, I think it is. This is all based on likely scenarios. The positive thing out of all of it is that it means the uncertainty will be over. So there'll be another period of negotiation to start negotiating other trade deals and how the relationship with the European Union is going to look long term. But at least business and investors will have certainty, and they'll know where we stand. That's the most likely scenario at the moment. If the polls aren't accurate, or if the opposition parties close the gap on Boris Johnson's Conservative Party, then we may see a hung parliament or a coalition of Labour, Liberal Democrats and the SNP, who I mentioned earlier. And if that happens, then they've got a bit of a weird policy. The opposition leader, Jeremy Corbyn, Labour's leader, claims that he will renegotiate a better deal within 3 months, but then he will reintroduce a second referendum. What will be on that referendum, I don't think they've quite stated. It's not sort of set in stone yet, but it looks like it will be either accept this deal or remain in the European Union. So that would be the other likely scenario. But it's not as likely as the first one I just described.
And you were saying that the good news is the uncertainty will be over. Business hates uncertainty, although they're living with a lot, not just in Great Britain, but all over the world this year.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Somebody made the point that business has plowed ahead historically through world wars and everything and continued to expand. What is the feeling, when you talk to your sources in the real estate and investment business, is there any optimism right now that, look, the way we do business is we're going to continue to do business, and the fact that we are not part of the Eurozone anymore is not going to keep us from achieving our investing goals and expanding our real estate interests. Is that the feeling, or is there some gloom?
I think that's quite an accurate sort of snapshot, Mike. Yeah, that is the feeling. Back in September we had our editorial board meeting for Europe and Italy, and most of the editorial board members were quite clear that the main geography they've stopped investing in is the UK because of the uncertainty of a Brexit. There's been some sort of lukewarm attitudes of sort of calls to UK logistics and retail for obvious reasons. It's getting sort of decimated here with e-commerce. at the moment, and logistics aren't perhaps producing some of the returns that they were in previous years. But generally speaking, over the medium to long term, once this Brexit stuff's sorted out, the UK has got strong fundamentals that investors still like. So obviously there's London, you know, one of the big metropolises of the world, and then the country's got some very good universities up and down the country, and it's attracting a lot of business even now during the uncertainty. It's been attracting a lot of business, especially from the TMT sector. There were some stats I pulled out from CoStar. So they had a UK office market analysis for Q3 of this year, and they sort of mentioned how the information and comms sector, the TMT sector, whatever you want to call it, they added 43,000 jobs last year, which is far more than any other office sector. This is talking about London, by the way, and London's economy still had its ninth consecutive year of GDP and job growth last year. So things have still been relatively positive from that perspective. The uncertainty has certainly hurt things. You know, you can't deny that. But I think long term, the UK and London seem to be in a good position to weather whatever happens, especially, actually, this is an important point as well, especially as it looks like if Boris Johnson does become Prime Minister, then his deal will go through, which means we won't have a no-deal Brexit, or as some people like to call it, sort of crashing out of the EU. So there won't be that shock to the economy if that happens.
Let's turn to Germany for a moment before we close it out. Merrick, because you've got an article about how in Germany developers are turning to mixed-use complexes. Why the trend? What's going on there? This is, I should mention for our listeners' sake, that this is a story that will appear in the December issue, which probably has not arrived in mailboxes yet, but it is already live on the website. So what's going on with mixed-use developments in Germany?
Yeah, I think that's it. This is a general trend that's going on in Europe now, in Northern Europe, so a lot of more people are looking at sort of mixed use. In terms of Germany, I mean, I was speaking to somebody at Expo Real talking about he's a shopping centre developer, and he was talking about how one of the angles they're looking at with mixed use is trying to put in hotels and offices and residential, or one of the three, or a combination of two or three within shopping centre complexes, especially in the cities. So the Germans, you know, as they always do, are looking at re-engineering their economy and their assets, their property assets, and this is something they've definitely identified. So there was even talk about in one shopping centre in the middle of in one city, drilling a hole through the top of it to get some extra light into it for people's apartments or hotel rooms, and adding so you'd have some apartments or some hotel space, some office space, and a bit of retail, some gastronomy, so some restaurants, and then maybe a bit of logistics space, maybe in the car park down at the bottom. All going on, and this is the future for urbanisation, certainly in Europe and in the big cities. And the Germans, one of the countries, are at the forefront of it. There's no longer fewer and fewer people are thinking of assets in just one sense anymore, because they realise that a pure retail play or a pure resi play or whatever may not be the best way forward for a lot of these distressed assets such as shopping centres and what have you. So it seems to be a big thing now. I could go in all sorts of directions, but that was one example anyway.
You know, a couple other stories. I'm looking at the table of contents right now. Maybe we'll touch on them next month, but for our listeners, Build It and They Will Come. It's a story about grand designs for Europe's property managers. And then there's also a story about coastal cities turning to the Dutch model to reduce flood risks as climate change continues to threaten coastal areas. So Let's put those in the to-do file for next month, Merrick. And
absolutely.
I appreciate your take on what's going on with Brexit and the potential, I'm sure, overblown talk of Great Britain breaking up. But nonetheless,
well, you never know.
we always want to think ahead to possible scenarios as well, because as I said, you know, taking some preventive measures, making sure that the population is secure, and it's always a good idea, because it seems more and more with all the protests going on in countries all over the world. In fact, your hometown magazine, they call themselves a newspaper, but The Economist has been writing about how protests all over the world in democracies and in totalitarian states and so on, and there is just a tremendous unrest around the globe. So the prospects or the thought of maybe some states breaking apart or getting renegade segments of the population is certainly not something we haven't seen before, something that might not be afoot now. But in the meantime, I think we should just have a beer, a couple of beers, Merrick, and trust that the market will take care of itself. What do you say?
I think you made a great point there, Mike. You know, about history teaches us that you know, things do change, and you know, there is unrest, and new political movements spring up, and everything. And maybe we're in one of those times in history. It's always hard to tell when you're in the eye of the storm, isn't it? But but at the moment, hopefully things will smoothen out for a bit, and we can still get some good returns from our real estate investments.
Yeah. And in the meantime, I'm sure that beer and whiskey sales are very brisk right now. As they are
well,
prone
to be
during times of stress and uncertainty.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got holiday season coming up as well, so
exactly.
We'll have more people buying stuff.
Exactly. A little stimulus for the economy, we hope. So, listen, have a great rest of the week. Appreciate the report, and we'll hit on some of these other themes we talked about next month.
Thanks, Mike.